Good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So after 2 weeks rest, we will resume our class today. Today is the 3rd of January 2021. We are into the new year. So once again, I'd like to wish all Kayamita a happy, beautiful and meaningful new year 2020. Let us 2021. Let us hope this year can be a better year, so that the world can recover from the pandemic and we will have better life. But the new normal will stay. So many lessons has been learned from what we have gone through last year. So it's like Dhamma. When we know how to apply Dhamma, we are okay. We are not really affected. In fact, we learn a lot. And there's a lot of understanding behind. I received some feedback. Many Kayamita told me, actually, that they said, we are indeed very fortunate we have the Dhamma. Otherwise, not easy to go through this period of movement control order. And also the pandemic way of living life. So most of the time, they have to lock themselves up with the new normal, the lockdown and the movement control. And the way we do things all change. This is the first time the education also affected. I was told last year the Form 5 people didn't get to sit for the exam. They have to lose 1 year. Then many tertiary education also, they have to maybe do their courses from home. They can't attend physical lectures. And many things has changed because even the working life, the career life, we have to adjust. Many were asked to work from home. Then we need to have meeting through Zoom conference. Even our Dhamma activity sharing, we also do it differently. So this is what the world is all about. It is about change. Everything is condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating. When condition evolve, it will change, it will transform things. And every time things evolve, transform and change, we have to learn from it, otherwise we suffer. Pandemic arise because of many factors, mainly because of human consciousness and the way our planet has developed its condition that brings about this sudden attack by the pandemic, the COVID-19 virus. And this is, I think, the first time where our generation really are experiencing a severe pandemic. The rest are crises which are not so severe. Although relatively severe, they affected certain countries, certain nations, certain people, but it's not a global one. And this pandemic is a global one. And it affects almost every country. And it's not easy to handle such pandemic because it not only affects our life, it has a great impact on our economy, especially the travel industry and all those things. So once again, my New Year message is stay safe and look after yourself. Then develop the Dhamma. Put the Dhamma into practice, into cultivation, then grow your understanding. And when you are able to understand the beauty of Dhamma, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. Your life will even be more rich, more meaningful, and you will appreciate more things. So this is the short message. Once again, wishing all calamitas a beautiful 2021. May you be blessed with good health, good life, and wholesomeness throughout the year. And may the Dhamma pave the way for you to enrich your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, and your journey towards Buddhahood. So with that, I will maybe continue from what we're supposed to do. Today is Sunday. We're supposed to share from the book, The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner. We are at page 266. The title is Saving and Transforming the Fallen. This one is a very good topic, and it is based on a stanza from the chapter 2 of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Chapter 2 is on expounding the Dhamma. So the gist of the stanza is, however, sentient beings in their delusion perversely calculate this and that, because they are very calculative, means egoic and selfish. They calculate benefits and disadvantage. Then they are more concerned about gain and loss, for me or not for me. So all this, because of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion leading to selfishness, they lead to unwholesome mind state. So when unwholesome thought arise, it conditions evil karma. So this is the reason why the title is Saving and Transforming the Fallen. The fallen one are sentient beings with delusion. When they have delusion, it is really frightening. And it can really make their life like hell. So delusion will lead to the three evil root, will lead to evil consequences, negativity or karma. Then your life will fall. That's why we cultivator of the way can see all this clearly. We give priority to our life. We determine to root out ignorance, delusion, especially Sakaya Didi, so that we can have the good life. Then we can transform ourselves. So Bodhisattva came because they are here to save and transform the deluded and the fallen one. Saving and transforming the fallen. I will read to you the chapter 2, Expounding the Dhamma, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, the stanza. However, sentient beings in their delusion perversely calculate this and that, gain and loss, advantage and disadvantages. Then they weigh things. That is the egoic mind doing the selfish thing. That's why the evil roots are there. Gain and loss. There are benefits and loss, or advantages and disadvantages, for me or not for me. So they let unwholesome thought arise. Unwholesome thought are thought with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, thereby creating evil karma, evil consequences of action, speech, and thought process. So this is how living beings fall. That's why this chapter is on saving and transforming these fallen beings, beings with delusion, being with ignorance, being who doesn't understand the truth, the Dhamma. So these beings are traps. There are traps everywhere in the world. With one incorrect thought, listen to this, the great beings, the cultivator of the way, they will know. They are very careful with the way they arise a thought. Because with one incorrect thought, living being tend to become deluded and lost, falling into a trap from which they are unable to lift themselves. That is why we need bodhisattvas, the great beings, cultivators of the way. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning says, observing this carefully and clearly, you must observe. Not only observe people, observe yourself. Great bodhisattvas give rise to sympathy and great compassion, and the desire to help and save all these living beings who has fallen. As bodhisattvas look at the world with an understanding of life's truth, they feel sympathy, compassionate, and they really care for the living being, for suffering beings. Giving rise to compassion, they go among people to save and transform them. That's why we call them the bodhisattva among society, Renxian Pusa. There is a Mr. Chai from Taichung who went astray when he was in his teen. He took drugs, fought, got into trouble, and even sold drugs. Later on, he was sentenced to life imprisonment. While in prison, he had the opportunity to learn Liao Fan's four lessons. So if you look at the notes, Liao Fan, four lessons, this is a 16th century book, providing lessons on how to change one's life destiny by doing good deeds. So I have read this Liao Fan story before too. I have seen one of the videos, which is very good. This Liao Fan is about how to change your life, because there were many stories within Liao Fan, the lesson, that stipulated that your life has been destined to be like that, like that, like that. Means fortune teller telling you, they try to predict all these things. But then a lot of these things can still be changed if you know the Dhamma. The way to change it is like what the author mentioned, by doing good, by cultivating wholesomeness and goodness, and things that are destined can change. There was one story I remember regarding a wealthy family's story, where this wealthy family, they became very famous. Then within a few generations, all become very famous. They become famous in the sense that they were promoted to important government position, ministers and other things, and they were very influential. Then somehow something went wrong. I think they get themselves entangled with the politics of the country. Then people actually found out certain things were not correct. Then they start to, like in China, convince the emperor to finish them all. And the whole family, all the way down, don't know how many generations, they kill them all. Then somehow left with their grandmother. Then there was one grandson who was born like, he escaped death. So he is the only one left. So the grandma tried to raise him, but it seems he was not bright. He was quite slow in his way of thinking and all those things. Then later on, the grandmother actually took him to read his life fortune. And he was told that this son, very difficult, a lot of problems. Then he will never pass his exam, he will never do like his forefather and all those things. Then somehow, the grandmother just let it be, then the son move on. But in between the story, the son grew up, and suddenly the son met a monk while he was in the teen, maybe 15, 16 years old. And this monk was very good. I think this monk knows his past, can read his past and all those things. So this monk actually trained him and teach him a lot of things. Then he started to become different. Then he grew up having better life and all those things. Then later on, there is one fortune teller, also read his life and said, you maximum can only reach this stage. You cannot go beyond. Then somehow he tried very hard. And everything that the fortune teller predicted came true. Which year he's supposed to what. Then after that, he got no children or and any other things. And this person also read a lot. Then finally he read this, don't know what book already, I forgot already. So it ended up like the story of Liao Fan, where you can change your life if you know how to do it through the Dhamma way or the wholesome way. Then one day he has a chance to meet upon this, the Wu Tai San Abbot, I think. Then the Wu Tai San Abbot explained things to him. Actually, what he studied was the classic of the ancient China and all those things. So that one, they have strong faith and they believe in a lot of predestined things, like fortune telling and all those things, because most people's karma is actually stuck there. But this Wu Tai San monk, the abbot, he is different. He knows the Dhamma. So he taught him, he said, no, you can change your own life, destiny and fate if you know how to do it. But you have to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. Then it also involved the heavenly beings, I think. So at one time he's supposed to die, this person, the scholar. But because he listened to the advice of the Wu Tai San Abbot, he go and did a lot of wholesomeness. He was promoted to be a magistrate or what. Then he helped the citizen. He helped them through droughts and all those things. And because of that, the fortune teller said he will die on that day. Then actually that hell being came and wanted to take him away. But somehow the hell being told him, your life had been extended. You're not supposed to die. Then when he woke up, he was very happy. So he believed in what the Wu Tai San Abbot told him. So he continued to do a lot of wholesome things. Then instead of the prediction say he will have no son or no children, he finally got a son, got children. And he was so excited and his life changed because he followed the Dhamma way. He no longer followed the traditional rigid way and all those things. So this is the interesting story of Liao Fan. You have a chance to listen to the story. You should listen. It's quite interesting. So it shows the great difference between Dhamma and normal. Yeah, go back to the notes. The normal teaching and Dhamma teaching. Dhamma teaching is different. Dhamma teaching is based on understanding. Like what the Buddha used to explain, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma condition, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So karma do actually have a lot of influence over our life, but it does not create a predestined destiny for you. It's just like this Sir Francis Light, I think he has a very good saying. He said, the past may condition our life, but it does not dominate over our life. That statement is very powerful. When I was young, I read it. I knew that was true. The past may condition us, like the Buddha said, we are born of our karma, add to our karma, conditions for the world, karma, and we are what we are because of. Correct. This karmic nature conditions us. But up to this moment, that karmic nature is that way. Maybe you say, in that sense, it's like it has the power to condition your life to be like that. But then, beyond this moment, you have wisdom and understanding. You know how to introduce the appropriate new condition. Your life will change. You will not be subject to the karmic thing. But without Dhamma, without wisdom, I realize your life is like more or less 99.999% driven by karma. There is nothing much you can do about life. That's why without this understanding, there is no way you can change your life, turn your life around. That's why you must have causes and conditions for all this to happen. You must have certain merits and goodness before. You must have helped people come out of suffering, misery, delusion. Then only there are causes and conditions for you to meet up with people who can also help you come out of such situations. Otherwise, your life is more or less following the conditioning of karmic. And very few people can actually change or turn around unless there are causes and conditions from the past. So when you have the Dhamma understanding, you know everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. Then you know how to plant the seed of Bodhi, to cultivate accordingly, following the Noble Eightfold Path, to transform your life, to improve your life, and make vow to perform more and more wholesomeness and goodness, so that your spiritual nature, your karmic nature, become beautiful. And these two will transform you and make you very beautiful whenever you come. So now I will go back to the notes. And we will continue reading from there. This is to explain to you about the Liao Fan and its four lessons teaching. From this book, Liao Fan, four lessons, Mr. Chai learned about the karmic working. See, the karmic working of cause and effect, and became deeply frightened because he did a lot of nonsense. This make him reflect on his past wrongdoing, and he realized that he had not only harmed himself by using drugs, but he had also caused harm to many others by selling drugs, pushing drugs. So hence he repented. See, the first thing is to repent. Repentance is very important. So asking for forgiveness, not to do it again, is repentant. Then he made vows to change himself. This is the Dhamma way. Later, he happened to read Suji Readers Club, a monthly newsletter, and saw that there are many good people doing good things, not only in Taiwan, but all over the world. He thought to himself, what have I done throughout my life? Some Buddhist nuns at the Jingshi Airport had been caring for prisoners for a long time. One of the nuns wrote Mr. Chai a letter, which include a few Jingshi aphorisms. These aphorisms are easy to understand, remember, and recite. So he began to apply them in daily life as his code of conduct, because he was well behaved. His sentence was reduced. After being released from jail, he really hoped to join Suji. But his inferiority complex made him hesitant. He walked back and forth in front of a Suji office and could not decide whether or not to go in. A commissioner noticed him and asked, why don't you come inside? He said, I just got out of jail. I have done many wrong things. can I still go in? After listening to the story of his past, the commissioner told him, I used to be a manager of a bar with many call girls working for me. I also drank and gambled. I was no better than you, and you are no worse than me either. See, I am now a city commissioner. Master Chen Yan said all kind-hearted people in the world are invited to till this field of blessings. With hearts as pure as the lotus flower, together we create the world of Ciqi. As long as you are determined to change completely, the lotus in your heart will emerge. So the commissioner got him involved in Ciqi activity. The man was very diligent. Sorry, we need to fix something. So there is something that my daughter Sui need to close.
I see.
Yeah. Okay, I will read on. The man was very diligent. He actively took part in recycling work and all kinds of assignment. He worked hard and was very mindful in following the footsteps of Ciqi volunteers. In a few years, he has successfully completed the training program and became a certified Fake Corp member. Furthermore, he courageously shared his life experience with others and helped awaken those who lost their way. One person influenced by him was Mr. Hong, a young man in his 30s. From an affluent family, Mr. Hong's mother deeply loved her only son and had high expectations for him. Unfortunately, when he was 17 years old, he hung around with bad companions and started using drugs. For more than 10 years, his mother tried to rid him of his drug addiction, spending more than $1 million. She even found a wife for him, hoping that the wife would help him reform. Yet, he still could not give up his bad habit even after he became a father. His mother showed him love and affection and did everything she could to help him. Sometimes he would realize that he should change so that he would not set a bad example for his children. He tried to change several times but always failed. Once he even agreed to be locked up in his room so that he would not be able to go out to get drugs. As he suffered from withdrawal syndrome, he thought that he might be able to rid himself of his drug addiction this way, but he could not tolerate the withdrawal effect syndrome. So he threw himself against the door. When that did not work, he jumped out of the window of the second floor room. As a result, he broke his leg and was taken to hospital. His mother did not know what to do. Her son looked terribly down, going through the withdrawal syndrome. And now he had a broken leg and was hospitalized. He felt helpless and was in great distress. A city commissioner in the community learned of their situation and went to comfort them. The commissioner also took Mr. Chai to attend to this case. From then on, Mr. Chai visited Mr. Hong every day to talk with him. Eventually, he shared with him the unspeakable suffering of his own struggle with drugs. With Mrs. Chai's assistant, Mr. Hong was finally able to quit drugs. After the surgery on his leg, Mr. Hong wound did not heal for quite some time. One day he asked his mother to do him a favor. Cixi has a branch office in Taichung. Please go there and pray to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva for me. If I recover, I will devote myself to voluntary. His mother was very happy to hear his request, so she went with Cixi volunteer to the branch office to pray. After a while, Mr. Hong was indeed discharged from the hospital, and he began to devote himself to recycling work. He would do whatever was needed, even cleaning toilet and performing heavy labor work. He was so moved by Cixi volunteers for always being there for him that he vowed to also be a good Cixi volunteer and a good disciple of Chen Yen Pastor. Mr. Hong's mother helped Mr. Chai promote Cixi and collect donation. She is grateful to him for guiding her son back to the right track. Even Mr. Hong's children would say that their father is now very good, a very good man. In the past, when their father was in withdrawal syndrome, they would tell their grandmother, please call the police to arrest him. Now they say, Grandma, Bodhisattva helped bring our daddy back. The change in him actually saved his family. Making mistakes is unavoidable. However, if one can realize that he has made a mistake, willing to correct it and act in accordance with the right principle, he can change his life and positively influence others. On the other hand, if one gives rise to evil thoughts, then he will hurt himself as well as others. So good and evil arise from our mind, the duality. We must totally comprehend the right principle so as not to lose our direction in life. So this is a very beautiful story, huh? Of how a drug addict ends up saving himself, then helping somebody also evolve in drug to come out of it and save a family. Such beautiful happenings. So Dhamma has its wonderful way of changing a person, saving a person, transforming life, and bring about a better understanding of life. That's why our world, our society, we need Dhamma. Without Dhamma, living beings suffer. Living beings can become really miserable. So, as Dhamma practitioner, Kayamitas, we should have gratitude towards our great karmic conditioning and nature. For us to be born during the sasana, to have the opportunity to receive the true Dhamma, to be born a human, and to have the opportunity to apply this Dhamma to change our life, to transform our life, and to be a blessing to all. So this is something we should be grateful for. Then we should actually continue this hard work. So that life after life, we can have this understanding to really make a difference to our life and to help transform the world. Next chapter is seeking happiness across the ocean. So this one is another stanza from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, chapter 2, expounding the Dhamma. Good man, the Dhamma is like water, which can wash away your defilement. Whether water comes from a well, a pond, a stream, or a river, a brook, a channel, or a great ocean, it can wash away all defilements. Likewise, Dhamma water can clean sentient beings of the defilements of afflictions. So this is beautiful. So if you know what Dhamma is, it's like a cleansing agent, water. If you want to clean up things, you need water. Of course, you also sometimes need soap, detergent, and other things to clean up the stain. But for Dhamma, it is different. We are not only cleaning out the dirt from the polluted things. We clean up the content of consciousness that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And Dhamma can develop into wisdom, understanding, that allow our mind to understand. Then when our mind understands, we can liberate the mind from all this delusion and confusion. So the evil roots can never stay there when there is wisdom and understanding. So Dhamma is to allow us to develop the understanding of life, the secret of life, so that we know how to live life, so that we know how to liberate our mind from this delusion, from this negativity of mind state, so that we can apply the understanding to live the good life, to live the beneficial life that can benefit not only ourselves, our loved one, and including all beings. So we will continue. Karmic affinity is marvelous. This is very true. You must have karmic affinity. People with karmic affinity feel close to one another. Every word they hear from each other is wondrous Dhamma that can be applied to their daily life. As a result, they will change whatever bad habit, tendency they may have. This is very true. There are a lot of Kayamita also share with me the same thing. They say, Brother Teo, a lot of the important pointers that you have given to us and share with us, the unique Dhamma code, and also the important Dhamma pointers, they can actually help them overcome their life problem and suffering. And this is very beautiful, because when people understand, people change. Without understanding, they won't change. So just now, I think Mifong and Suyan also came over and meet up with us, and we had a simple lunch, then we had some sharing. Then towards the later part, Mifong told me the same thing. He said she had a lot of joy and a lot of gratitude when she learned how to apply all my important sharing. Yeah, I used to share with people. When you understand that Dhamma is very beautiful, you can change your life, you can become beautiful. And to cultivate is very easy. Develop heedfulness. So the daily mindfulness, the daily routine, the five daily contemplation, and also the vow, the aspiration, everything. Then simple thing like understanding the Four Noble Truths is tree turning. Then also to understand life, because ours is a conditioned world. We live within a world of condition, dependent originating, condition arising, also phenomena. So when we understand all this, we become different. Then we have right view with regards to the law of karma, the law of mind, the law of truth. And we also develop a lot of understanding on the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self, empty nature of existence. Then we also develop the understanding of what constitutes awareness, mindfulness. Then how to deal with life, the unreality of life. Then see life with clarity and understanding and move. Then understand who are we, what are we, the form and mind. This form and mind is just a vehicle and tool for us to come to this world, karmically conditional. This one is not real, not a permanent unchanging entity, so do not attach, do not cling. But it's an important tool and vehicle. It has this relevance, its usage. So use it appropriately. Do your duty, where this is subject to karma. Then everything that happened, understand that they are not so real, not what you think. It's only mighty nature rolling by. Then later on, I even share with people, it's only a thought. How come it has power over you? How come it can drive you crazy and make you so miserable? So who are you? What are you? So when we have all this understanding, we will not land ourselves in delusion. We will not get ourselves entangled with life. Then when you really can see how you can come out of all this tool and understanding and see how it can help others, you develop a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude that it will drive you to cultivate. Then when you cultivate, you can see the result, how it helped you, transform you, and make a big difference to your life. Then life take a turn and life become meaningful, beautiful. Then you can live life to the fullness. You can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life within the moment. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? So if you understand all this, you become beautiful. So Dhamma is really wonderful. Yeah. It develops wisdom to transform the individual and cleanse everything. Your defilement, your delusion, it root them all out. Then you become beautiful. You have clarity. You have understanding. You are heedful. You are always mindful. Then your mind state are always tranquil, still, calm, peaceful, with a lot of joy and understanding. That is what an enlightened being's mind is all about. That's why it's important that we have this Dhamma. And it's important that we cultivate, train ourselves, and transform our mind state and our understanding so that we can live the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, the life of an enlightened being. Then life really become meaningful, beautiful. Then nothing in this world can cause us suffering or misery or affliction. We will be able to accept the reality of everything that arises. Then the Dhamma become very clear to us. The teaching of the Buddha become very clear to us. Then we are really a blessing to all. Okay, we will continue. There are another 10 minutes we will stop for meditation. There are I haven't finished the second paragraph. Okay, I read again. Karmic affinity is marvelous. People with karmic affinity feel close to one another. Every word they hear from each other is wondrous dhamma. This one we have gone through. That can be applied to our daily life. So this one many Kayamita has learned and did receive. As a result, they will change whatever bad habitual tendency they may have. This is very true. A lot of Kayamita change because previously the negative tendency or bad habitual tendency, they tend to react to life, worry about life, complain about life, and do all the wrong thing that result in the wrong thought. That condition their fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, and misery. So always remember, like I always say, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, or lamentation can help you solve your problem, your life problem or situation. Then why do you project your thought and arise all this negative mind state or negative tendency of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity? So all this will not help you. They are wrong thought that condition your misery, your affliction. So see them clearly, understand them, then change, straighten your view, so that all this habitual tendency to react to life, to react to sense experience, they will be rooted out and finally completely rooted out and cease. Because everyone will not sense experience without the wisdom, the Dhamma, you will react. If to arise the sensual desire and evil, the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So all this is due to sakkayaditi, self-delusion, ignorant, not understanding the Dhamma, the truth. So this habitual tendency, which are very negative, you need to straighten your view to root them out. Otherwise, your life will not change. You will become miserable. Mm-hmm. So that is the meaning. Eh? As a result, when they understand, they will change whatever bad habitual tendency they may have. And I have seen this happening to many Kayamitas, especially those who have gone through suffering and misery. They have shared with me many aspects, especially those who have gone through depression, suffering and misery. There are many foreign brides in Taiwan. They have traveled from various countries to establish family and have children here. Due to language and cultural barrier, they have much difficulty in assimilating into the new environment and teaching their children. Therefore, Cixi developed a community training program a few years ago for foreign brides to learn the local language and the way to integrate into their Taiwanese families, including how to care for their in-laws, become accustomed to local etiquette and Taiwanese culture, and form a good relationship with their neighbors. Through the effort of Cixi volunteers, the program for foreign brides is offered all across Taiwan and has been very well received. It is not easy for international marriage to work out. Are the couples able to get along well? Are they satisfied with the marriage? Can they build a happy family? The challenge comes mainly from two aspects. The first one has to do with whether the husband takes responsibility for the family. Some husband has no sense of responsibility. After getting married, they continue to indulge in seeking pleasure. Their foreign wives do not feel love. They are made even more lonely and miserable by having to live in an unfamiliar environment of a different culture. The second potential challenge is that even if the foreign wife has a good husband, they may feel lonely because of difficulty adapting to environment. So she may indulge herself in extravagance. One foreign bride, for example, had lived in Taiwan for 5 or 6 years. Her husband was family oriented and gave her enough money for family expenses each month. They had 1 child and lived comfortably. Yet she still felt lonely. So she indulged in drinking and gambling. She spent money at will because she thought the purpose of her leaving home to get married in far away Taiwan is to enjoy life. Such a disorderly lifestyle does not bring happiness to a family. One day she happened to watch Life Wisdom on Da Ai Tai, Da Ai TV, and felt that she should change her lifestyle. So she enrolled in Sisi program for foreign maids. Foreign brides. Moreover, she quit drinking and gambling and eliminated her wasteful habit of constantly buying new clothes. Her husband was very pleased with her change. Sometimes he offered to take her shopping for clothes, but she would say to him, no thanks. Even the husband offered to take her shopping for clothes, she would say no thanks. I look pretty enough in my city uniform. This type of wife, very difficult to find. The change in one person had made the whole family happy. This has become a common occurrence among the participants of Sisi program for foreign brides. In some cases, it is the husband who is unruly with drinking and gambling problems. In one instance, the husband would disappear for a long period of time whenever he left home. And when he returned, he would beat his wife. Husband and wife were always fighting and confronting each other. But after the wife attended Sisi program, they became very gentle at home. The husband was curious about his wife's change. He wanted to know about the class she had taken that had transformed her. So he went to the class with his wife to learn more. Sisi volunteer noticed that the husband peeped in on his wife several days in a row. So they said to him, come in and sit with us. The husband did not want to be rude, so he came in. Sisi volunteer introduced him to the class. This man is a good husband. He cares about his wife and what she is learning in class. Let us ask him to say a few words. With everyone's encouragement, he reluctantly opened his mouth. Actually, I came to see how you make my wife become so gentle. The entire class started to tease him. Since she had become gentle, shouldn't you also change yourself and become better? You make her come from such a far away place to marry you. Don't you cherish her at all? Bombarded by the whole class, the husband said, all right, I will change. To demonstrate your dedication, please come and attend this class with her from now on. The man did just that, and he gradually eliminated his bad habit one by one. So Sisi's program for foreign bride not only teaches language skills, it also enables these wives to communicate with each other and teach other children so that their children will not have language difficulties in school and will be able to learn from their teachers. The program has also changed their husband's attitude towards life, so they can build a happy family together with their wives. This is all due to karmic affinity. We should form good affinity with each other so they will value the advice we gave them and apply it to their daily life, eventually changing their ways. With the right direction, whether in the outside world or within their hearts, everyone can choose to be virtuous and tread the correct path. Dhamma is like water. Dhamma water is indispensable in life. Dhamma begins from the heart. The more kindness, the good thoughts people generate, the more harmonious society will be. This is very true. Okay, so we were in there. So now exactly 4 o'clock, we can have our 45 minutes of awareness peace meditation. Okay, so we will off the light so that you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness peace meditation. Just relax body and mind, yeah? Maintain awareness. Mm. Then let the mind settle down. Then stabilize the awareness nature. That is your true mind, your meditative mind. Use the mind to meditate. So the four support again. Huh? Relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can, if possible, in the 4 hours. And trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to develop in your daily life. So make use of these mind states to cultivate the stability of daily mindfulness so that you can be heedful in the midst of life. And the daily mindfulness, unless you can stabilize it, you have yet to develop the real meditation. The real meditation only begins when you have stabilized your daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot see. You are not sensitive enough. Your mindfulness is not stable enough to see your mental, to see your mental states or your sankhara movement and activity. So the stability of daily mindfulness is very important. So always bear it in mind. Okay. So we will go into the second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Question and answer session. You can ask me any Dhamma question or meditation question. Then after that, we can also share on the part Dhamma in daily life. If you have any experience about it or anything that you want to share, you can. Oh, Jinho is here.
Yeah, happy new year to you.
Yeah, Jinho, yes. Yeah. Happy new year.
Yeah. I would like to report my meditation just now.
Good. Okay.
Just now I was doing the sitting meditations.
Okay.
And then not long after I can hear my heartbeats quite loud.
Right.
And then at the same time I can also notice there's a lot of chit chat thought, you know?
Yeah.
At the same time, you see?
Yeah.
It was like the heartbeat sounds was like a background sound. Even though I aware that there's like, you know, conversation going on, you know, thoughts, yet I still hear that the heartbeat is there all the time. All right. And
then what else you do?
I'll just let it be, see? I'll just let it be. And then the thought is, you know, is sometimes it go off and sometimes it non-stop. And it's like, you know, it continue by itself, is it?
And okay. Did you do anapanasati?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then
when
you sit, what you do?
Relax, is it?
Relax, maintain awareness. Then when you can...
Yeah, maintain awareness and then...
Sit, what do you do?
I just stay with it.
When you stay with it, what happened to the habit?
The sound is like, you know, it's ongoing. It's just pumping, pumping, pumping. And at the same time also, I can notice, you know,
you will have the awareness of thought and all those things. Because when you can listen and be aware of your heartbeat, you actually have improved mindfulness. Then if you are not doing anapanasati, you should go to your heartbeat and stay there. Then don't do anything. Let the awareness and the heartbeat move together. Whatever that is background or secondary, you just let it be. Otherwise, you will be end up like what the people do, like the thought-based meditation. They try to be aware of thought. Forget about aware of thought. When you try to be aware of thought, you cannot stabilize your sati. You have to stabilize your sati and allow the sati to be aware of thought by itself. And that one is very good. So relax, maintain awareness. Then when you are stable enough to be aware of what is going on within your body and mind, miss any vibration, your heartbeat or whatever, then you stay with it. You silence everything and stay at the heartbeat there. Then don't do anything. Just aware. Maintain awareness there, like your anapanasati. But now you maintain awareness at your heartbeat, which is more subtle, more difficult to be aware. But if you can be aware of that, normally your breathing, everything has already slowed down, become relatively quiet. Then the awareness will pick up. Then this sound of the heartbeat initially is like very loud, pounding. But after a while, you are patient enough, it will like slow down and become very quiet until it becomes very still. Yeah. Just like the breathing, until like very subtle or no breathing, hardly any breathing at all. You should do that. That is the next stage of more refined awareness, stability of awareness. And when you come out of that, when you have the ability to be aware of the very subtle heartbeat, or when the heartbeat becomes very quiet and still, your true mind really manifests. During that time, all the thought, movement, everything, like no more. Then you will understand what that nature is. The awareness and the thought, they are very near. The moment you are curious, you want to find out, the thought will arise. Then you realize every moment of awareness and every moment of knowing are two different things. The knowing is the thought, the thinking process, the perception, the description. Whereas the awareness is just aware before the knowing. So you will have to learn all this through that stability and that stages of transformation. So what you have gone through is very good, you know, Sadhguru, but you need to understand it's not about looking at a thought. Looking at a thought means the thought is trying to be aware of thought. That one will not refine your mind.
Okay.
Will not make it more stable, more refined. What you need to do is stay with whatever object of meditation that is prominent to you, like your heartbeat. That's why for those who can do anapanasati until their breathing become very quiet, I say silence everything, don't do anything, stay with the silence. Means be at around the nostril area. Then after a while, that sati build up until the subtle breathing also become very clear to them. And that is the stage where they really understand what the subtle mind, the silent mind, and the awareness nature is. Because once you become more refined, you can hear a lot of things. It can be very sensitive. Then wherever you locate this mind become very clear. And when it has become very subtle, means the awareness is more refined than what you experienced just now. So since you didn't go through anapanasati, it's okay. You can do it from relax, maintain awareness, and reach that stage. It's already not bad, quite good. Then you have to stay at the heartbeat area. Let it be, like Gordon say, be with it. Means let the awareness and the heartbeat move as one. Don't try to know anything. Don't even try to notice the thought or whatever. Just silence everything. Then through the awareness, as it slows down, as it becomes more refined, more quiet and more still, the awareness will be aware of anything. It will understand things by itself. So that is how you develop the stability of mindfulness and awareness. Then when that heartbeat become different, you will know. Because initially it's like still very fast. Then when the sound, heartbeat become quiet that time, your high blood pressure all gone. You will become very quiet, very still, and your heart hardly pound. So your blood pressure is very low. During that time, you will become like very peaceful, very quiet, very tranquil, very still. Then the calmness will start to come in, develop. Then you will have the ability to be aware, mindful. Then the meditation will start, because from that time, you can know a lot of things. Whatever sense experience that arise, the thinking, the movement, everything, the sankhara, because you have the stability of mindfulness, you can see them, you can be aware of them. Then you can know how you react, how you input the content of consciousness, the mental intention, the conditioning, the belief system. You can see them all. But before that stability of mindfulness, you cannot see. You are like using your thought to like understand it through knowledge. You apply the Dhamma knowledge, but the real happening you cannot see. But when you have that stability of mindfulness, what actually happened you can see. And when you see, you describe, it become very clear. You can use your own word. You don't have to use other people's word. Well, different people describe things differently. But no matter how you describe, to those who have gone through, who have developed the cultivation, they will understand what you say. They will know what you are trying to tell them. So again, to remind you, very good. Then you can be aware of your heartbeat, silent everything, and stay at your heartbeat area. Stay at your heart area. So whenever you meditate, even in the sitting or lying down, go to your heart area and stay there. Because now you have the ability to stabilize that mindfulness. And when you do this very frequently until your daily mindfulness improve, the next time you sit or you lie down, you straight away will be able to be aware of your heartbeat straight away. Straight away you will go there. Then you realize your mind becomes quiet very fast. But when you are aware, you cannot think. So the anchor is very important. When you are aware of the movement of the heartbeat, it's like anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. But this one is mindfulness of the rise and fall of the heartbeat. The pumping, the arising and the ceasing, is when the heart pump, you will become aware of that. And those who feel the abdomen rising and falling is actually the same beat, but it's the extension from the heart. So if you go to the heart, it's the source of that movement. That is your life force pumping your heart. And that one will become quiet only when you have no thought, when you are peaceful, when you are mindful and just aware. When there is no agitation, no stress, no sankhara, the heartbeat becomes very quiet. Especially when you have deep sleep, peaceful sleep, the heartbeat becomes very quiet. Then that time, the life force take over. So meditation is to go back to the original mind, the true mind, the silent, the awareness. Then that one will regulate everything. Your body and mind, they are in perfect harmony. So when the mind is in that state of awareness, the vibration is different. The energy is very fine. The energy will also come with the positive wisdom energy. And that one will transform your consciousness. It will make you different. Then it will let you understand many things. But during that state, when your awareness is very stable, the mundane mind cannot arise or hardly arise. It can only perceive, aware, perceive, finish. Aware, perceive, finish. Most of the time it's aware. Then when you decide to meditate, You don't have to do anything. You just silence everything and let the awareness stabilize until it becomes very still, until it has the sensitivity. And then you will learn new things. You will learn many things that normal people cannot learn. Yeah, without the stability of that mindfulness and sati, you cannot do all these things. So remember that and proceed from there. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu.
Do you have anything else to report or share?
Just when I feel the heartbeat, aware of the heartbeat, at the same time also I can feel that the sort of like, you know, the blood pumping up to the neck, you know. It's sort of like synchronized together.
Yeah, that is the same pulse.
Yeah.
We call it the pulse. P-U-L-S-E.
Yeah.
Pulse goes through your whole body.
Correct.
Like wherever you locate your awareness, you can feel them. Your bodily cell, your artery, your vein, everything.
Mm.
That's why the Chinese say they put the hand, they take your pulse at your hand there. Yeah? There is a vessel, an artery there, blood vessel, the artery there. And that one has its pulse. That's why if you feel it, then you can feel the pulse. But as a meditator, you don't have to put your hand there. You don't have to put the stethoscope there. You just silent, you will pick it up. And that's how you can go to the brain. You can feel the movement inside the brain, everything. That one is later you can test and find out. That's how you have this refined mindfulness that make you sensitive. Sensitive means you are very sensitive to all the vibration, the movement, the whatever activity that is going on within your form and mind. You can feel them. Then wherever your body, whether it's in perfect health or not, in normalcy or not, you will know whichever part out of balance, not right, you can know. And you are a lot more sensitive. So a lot of people who fall sick because they are not sensitive, they still don't know what is going on. They just complain, I hear ache there, ache everywhere, ache and all this problem. But they didn't silence their mind and go in and find out. And sometimes even they receive medication or whatever, they don't know whether the medication work or not. For me, if I have any sickness or whatever, before it happened, I will know that something is not right already, coming already. Then I know what to do. I normally rest, then I recover. And if I need to rest longer to recover, then I will completely rest and have a long rest. Means I sleep. I sleep, I will recover the next day. But if it's major sickness or disease or whatever that is beyond what my nature can do through all this understanding, then you need medication and the doctor. Like the artery one, I cannot clear the cholesterol. I can only reduce my what they call whatever stress and blood pressure, everything. But cholesterol is something that is blocked inside. It's contributed mainly, almost 80% is DNA, only 20% exercise or whatever. So all this, you need to understand the body goes the way of nature. Then like a car, wear and tear over time, you need to really service the thing. So we need to do all this through an understanding. If whatever exercise can help, what we do is like sometimes people go for massage, but I do hand swing exercise, swing hand. I discuss this with Anemi from this morning also. I show them how I did. I find it very useful. I swing both my hands like the Qigong Pala do. Then my shoulder thing or my hand, there was one hand last time when I reached certain age, I think about 1 to 2 years ago, I got difficulty in wearing tight shirt because that left hand not like normal anymore. Then I decided to do the hand swing. Then I realized it goes off. After two or three times, it goes off. Then now, because I swing it more often, it's no more there. I'm back to normal. Then I realized my leg also. Many people told me, some younger than me, they also told me, go upstairs now, the knee got problem already. And some go exercise, the knee also got problem already. Then I told them, yes, my father warned me last time when he aged. He said, when you age, your leg, take care of your leg muscle. He said, well, the leg, for him, is the leg weakened. His knee place is okay, but his leg muscle no more. He feel very weak. That's why he was on wheelchair at the age of 70 something, towards 80 years old that time. So I was forewarned on this. Then I can feel my body very well. I know the leg at times is weak. After I reach certain age, sometimes if you're not careful, you think you are still young, you jump across a train. Sometimes this leg no longer have the youth full type of muscle and strength. Then I realized the leg muscle weakened and not so like young timer. Then I can just fall, you know, even a simple lap across the drain. Last time is no problem, 3 feet, 4 feet, I can just jump down there. But now, 1-2 feet also, you have to be careful because your leg is weak already. So there was one incident where this leg muscle was weak. Then I roll over. Luckily, I was aware and mindful and I roll over. I roll over means I didn't fall. It's like I roll over means I let the momentum slow down, whatever, but I still injured my hand and a little bit of my trousers there, near the leg there, because it was on the pavement. And also lucky there was no car coming, because I make sure no car, then only I jump. So nowadays I'm more careful, I dare not jump. I don't want to be a hero anymore. So I did the leg exercise. Leg exercise, I just swing my leg, but I kick like kicking a football. I hold against the railing, I kick. Then I realized that one like swing hand, very good. It build up the strength, the muscle. And I kick both my leg, like kick football like that. Kick, then like let it naturally fall back, then kick again. So I kick for 20 over times. Left, right leg first, then left leg. I find it very useful, very helpful. So all this type of understanding is very important. So what I'm trying to share with you is whatever that you can do through all these exercises or stretching or any skillful means, even those who know how to massage, especially those who are very skillful in the way they massage people. Certain people with stroke, they recover. If you meet or any of this, you can give it a try, no harm. But some do cannot do this because it doesn't help, like the traumatic disease and all those things, stone, artery block, and also certain type of stone or growth in your organ or whatever. You can't, you need the doctor to do the CT scan to really diagnose it, then after that, do the necessary operation or what. Then sometimes you need to take medication, certain type of sickness. So when you take the medication, if it works, you will know. Because if you are mindful and aware, you are sensitive, straight away I will know that medication works really. Then I know I will recover. But if it doesn't work one, the first time I take it in, I will know already. But certain vitamins, certain type of supplement, you have to take over daily dose. You have to take over 3 to 6 months to see the effect. So that one, you need patience, you need understanding. So all this is something that you can learn from each other as we go through old age, as we age, and as we develop the understanding of our body we will have this knowledge and understanding. That's why the younger people, when they hear all this, they learn. I learned from my dad a lot. He tell me a lot of life experiences. And my dad know I can learn things very fast. So he will tell me things that I cannot at that time understand or learn because I was still young during the early days. And he know I have this ability. So he liked to tell me a lot of things about his life, his past and all those things. Then because I can evaluate and see and understand, then from there I appreciate whatever he did for the family, sacrifice for us and the family. I develop the gratitude and I appreciate what he has done. Then I learn from him what he gave priority to life that has helped make a big difference to our family. The two biggest things he did for us was very beautiful. His emphasis on education. He said, don't worry about education money. That one is his duty. He will find the money. He said, your duty is to study. Then after that, he make sure we have our citizenship, our birth cert, everything properly done. So these two I find very useful. You know, these two are so important. So I pick it up and I told my children, I said, these are the things you must make sure when you have children, you make sure their citizenship, birth certificate, their paper are in order. Otherwise, it will create a big headache to their life because we may not know. But for those who don't have proper paper document and cannot get their passport or birth certificate and citizen, they can have a lot of problems. They are like foreigner, migrants, and all those things. So all these are facts of life that we can learn and pass on to our next generation so that other people can learn, like Dhamma. It is useful. And whatever that is useful and appropriate can be of great help to humanity, to society, to the world. So these are the things we should develop and learn. So for Jin Hao's case, how I come to this, I also cannot remember now. Why did I do all this? Yeah, but before that, why did I go to all those things? What was Jin Hao trying to describe initially? After his report of meditation, the heartbeat pump to the neck. Yeah, I try to explain to you, it's the pulse of life. Yep. And then from there, you become sensitive. Yeah. So all this will lead to understanding your body, your health, and all those things. So when you meditate, you become more sensitive, then you can feel those things. Later on, you can feel more, not only the blood being pumped and all those things. You can go inside. Then and describe a lot of things that people may think that, oh, this is fairy tale. It's not fairy tale. You can really understand what is going on. You can see all the movement inside there. And when you lie down, the vibration between your bodily contact with your bed and all those things, all the vibration there, initially like very gross, then slowly, slowly as you become peaceful and quiet and silent, and be with it, the awareness, then you can see very clearly the awareness of it. Every part is vibrating. That's why I told that day, Polly and the other tribe, put the hand on the floor. I don't know whether she has tried or not. There's a lot of thing going on. Very good. You know, Sadhu, anything else?
Sadhu, just now, I mean, your advice was very, very good. You helped me to understand better. What should I need to do the next, is it like placing you know, aware, stay with the heart, because just now what you say was quite true. I was aware the thought, and you know, the thought just aware, is it? So yeah, I think now I know where is the direction, is
it? Yeah, if you try to be aware of thought before your mindfulness become more stable and refined, no use. That one is thought base. People say yeah. I'm aware of thought. That one is, I don't want to use that harsh word. That one is really BS. Push
yeah.
Because
yeah.
how can you be aware of thought when your mindfulness is not stable? So you need to go to the heartbeat there and be with it until
yeah.
your mindfulness becomes very stable. And then when that one stabilizes, the moment you come out of it, your heart beat and your awareness is one. And if that one stabilizes until your mind enters sati, then when you come out, everything is in sati. At that time, you can see a lot of things. Every moment of seeing is in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought movement is. At that time, you can see your thought. That time you can see all the sankhara activity, how you input the content of everything. Not until your mindfulness is very stable, not until your mind enters sati, you cannot do that. So for the mind to enter sati, your heartbeat there, the awareness has to be very stable until that whole heartbeat becomes very subtle, very still. Finally, it can be like you cannot feel your heartbeat at all. It will happen. But you are not dead. There is no pulse of life, but you are not dead. But the awareness becomes extraordinary sensitive to you. Then that time if you're silent, you can be one with everything, the oneness nature. Means the spacious awareness without a center. You can try other things during that time. It can just be aware of the whole oneness. Your awareness can pervade into space and everything. Then whatever you want to know, you can know. That's why the awareness nature is very powerful, very, very different. There's a lot of things that it can learn and develop the understanding which the normal mind cannot do. Where well, this is awareness, this is our true mind, our nature. And you can never know and understand all this until your awareness nature develop and stabilize, until your mind enters sati and always be in that state of awareness and sati. That's how you become heedful. Otherwise you think a lot. When you think a lot, sankhara active, you cannot be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful. To be ever mindful, your mind must enter sati so that you are most of the time or all the time in sati. Means specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. Yeah. Okay?
Sadhu.
Sadhu, yeah, six letting be, yeah.
The voice is clear enough to hear, right?
Yes, clear enough, yes.
Yeah, sadhu to Radio for this first Dharma sharing for the year 2021. And sadhu to all those log-in.
Yeah.
There are about 10 to 12 of us. And thank you, Jinhao, Rajina, for nominating me. Okay, what shall I share? okay, maybe I share this video.
Yeah.
You should have a lot of good things to share. Sadhu. because you have really done well.
Because nowadays keep raining, right? Especially last night to today, this morning, I think more than 12 hours of
throughout the night.
Yeah.
Next morning. Oh. And my wife told me very good sleep, very deep and good sleep, very nicely. And that vibration, very beautiful. That nature. No, you can meditate very nicely.
Yeah.
I like to come out outside because the air very fresh and the nature very still.
And this rain is very friendly rain because no thunder, no lightning. It's
correct. Very cooling and soothing type of rain.
Yeah.
And the vibration from the drop, the raindrop onto the awning and all those things. Very nice.
Yeah.
They are very
gentle rain.
Very nice melody.
Okay. This experience was maybe last year, during December, also a lot of rain.
Yeah.
And then, how to say, before the rain starts, I used to have this sign signal to me to keep in my laundry. So
you don't know.
The sense of
the sensitivity.
The sense of rushing to keep in the laundry is there, but but the I aware that I just go and take in the laundry and then a lot more outside, and then I just undo the pack, pack the clothes from the hanger. And then I take like as though I was taking my own sweet time.
No need to hurry on.
Like as though I don't want to hurry, but actually it's the urgency to bring in all the laundry before it rains, right? So I have that awareness.
The awareness at your pace. Although you may say no urgency, but you do it very efficiently. That's how you will do. Then after you finish or about to finish, only it starts to rain. And all those things, it will happen. It's just like there is something like giving you the sign, the message, then like alerting you, it's about to rain really. And your intuitive ability become very sharp and very accurate. Then you become sensitive. Very good. True. You describe what happened. I want to hear from you.
While doing all this, like taking my own sweet time, but actually at the background, I know it's urgent to go out and take in another load of laundry in. But I just like very relaxed and then take all the pack. Take all the hangers, just put aside first, and then walk swiftly. Actually quite swiftly, I just walk out and then bring in another another batch of laundry. So after I bring in all, then the rain started. And I always appreciate and thanks to the whatever
The deva,
whatever deva who helped me to signal to me before it rains. It's always very effective, and then
ability. Very good. Sadhu, this is what Dhamma cultivator and practitioner will experience. And there are a lot of things like very strange. Keep on like happening and towards our understanding and favor. Then like people is protecting us, helping us. Like everywhere we go, they care for us. So a lot of cultivator Kayamita used to tell me, even that day my daughter there went to Sungai Lembing, it seems the hotel operator told them, he said, wow, it was raining, he said, these few days, because very likely you can't see much thing. Then my daughter said, as they were driving in, it was still raining very heavy. Then you can see the running water. Then when they reached the resort, the rain stopped. And for the 2 days they were there, the rain stopped, no rain, and the sky was clear and everything was beautiful. That's why we have that ability. I remember when I was in Japan 10 years ago, Mount Fuji. So we reached Mount Fuji, actually stay at the hotel. That hotel got one window looking at Mount Fuji on. Then the reception is in front there. There was a elderly man, about 60 years old. He oversee the area. Then we ask him, what is that window? What is it for? But at night, we can't really see. Oh, he said, this is for you to view Mount Fuji. But not likely you can see, because last few days, very cloudy and a lot of rain, isn't it? Then he said, tonight will be a cold night. Then I just smile. Then deep inside my heart, I know tomorrow will be beautiful, sunny, and all those things. And you know what happened? That night was not cold. Then the next morning when I wake up, sunny, the window there, can see Mount Fuji, beautiful, clear. So the elderly man looked at me and said, wow, you are very lucky today, is it? Clear, is it? Normally 1 month, you can see 2 or 3 days only, is it? Clear sky in Mount Fuji there. Most of the time it's cloudy. Then I smiled to him. I say, yeah, we are lucky today, sadhu. So we went out and we climbed Mount Fuji and we had a long walk and very nice. We trekked all the way up there. So that trip was very nice. Then they have this, what they call the Wenquan is called what?
Hot spring
out there. So we visit the area where a lot of tourists up there. Then the wind, very windy, very nice weather. Then as we travel, the weather is like very, very friendly. And we are like always been protected, guided. And we are like very fortunate. The weather is very conducive. Everything is very conducive. Even our China tree, everything we experience, a lot of kayamita that when we meet, you know, we are like blessed and a lot of things goes our way. So as a cultivator, you will experience a lot of this. Basically, these are the signs that you have progressed, that you are sensitive. You have the ability to actually understand all this. And it is part of nature's way of rewarding us to our understanding, because we share merit, we transfer merits, we are cultivator. And those being up there, those who really have the ability to understand and see, they really rejoice in what you do and what we do. That's why a lot of these Dhamma protectors, devas, and great beings, nature up there, they really rejoice. And it makes a big difference to our life, to our ability to understand things and influence the world, be a blessing to all. That's why all this is part of the Dhamma way. You will see them. Mm. Very good, Amy. Sadhu to you.
The after I bring in the laundry, what I reflect back was how come I'm so relaxed to do take off the laundry from the hanger one by one, like as if there's no rain coming like that. So after that, I found out, I think that is mindfulness to me. Yeah. So even though it's a need to quickly bring in all the laundry, but the heart has no rush.
Yeah.
Just do what it should do.
There is no worrying. Yeah. Even when you want to do certain thing, you know, just let things be, then act accordingly. Then beautiful outcome will happen. That's why you can have all this understanding and you can describe it in your own words too, which is very beautiful. Yeah, it is part of mindfulness. When you have mindfulness, you have this ability. Then you can have all this type of sensitivity and understanding coming in. You become sensitive, you can sense many things. You can even have intuitive type of intuition coming in to help you. Like many things, you can understand and you know it's going to go for the better. Then sometimes if a certain sign of things not going right, you will also know. Then you will know how to echo and flow. And you need to change your decision, you will change your decision. Then you need to radiate love and metta. Do your part to help out or whatever, like especially nature's disaster coming or what, you will do. And when you do, it has its effect. If your nature is strong enough, you will have its effect. And I have helped many places and many incidents. When I send something, then I radiate, then I share merit, I transfer merit, I invoke power of merits, then the pure wish. If it's good for the many, let this unfold. Sometimes people may not know what is going on. Like last night I told you all the Pasamala one are going to rain very heavy. The whole thing just reversed. Then the cloud, all the dark cloud, everything dispersed. And I went out to the Pasamala. Everybody was happy, cheerful, doing their business. But they don't know who was the one that caused the black cloud to disperse and all that thing. So all these things are very beautiful. That time also same, where I was actually working at that time, University of Malaya. And when I came out of the office, I was about to drive home. I normally drive home about 5:30 to 6 o'clock. So I knew that day was possible. Then I saw the black cloud. Oh, then my nature has this love, compassion, and what they call, I pity the traders. They have prepared their food, their goods for sale, all those things. If it rained and heavy rain pour, they will not be able to have their business and all those things. So what I did was, like you said, I didn't hurry. I take my own sweet time. I was very mindful the way I just drive. Then immediately when I reached my house, I think it was 15 or 20 minutes later, it was really dark cloud hanging there about to pour. You can sense it one. It's coming down anytime. So I straight away parked my car. I went in, sit at the altar there. I have an altar. Immediately I silent my mind. I meditate. I send the pure wish. If it's good for the many, let the rain disperse. So that time I want to try out. It was in the year 1989 when I connected and I know all these things and understand all these things. Then suddenly after I did that thing, like there is a message inside, you know, okay, it's done. Then I came out of my house, my altar, and I saw the sky all clear, the cloud all already dispersed. Then back to normal. Then I decide to walk out to the Pasamalam to see. Then I saw the joy. I saw all those things. Then my nature also rejoiced. It's for me to understand where that time I wanted to test all this. I want to find out what is all this. That's why as you cultivate, you will go through all these experiences and transformation. And you have that ability, that nature to do all these things. That's why this is something very beautiful. Then I even have the experience of many other happenings until one day I realized I did not simply use this pure wish, where they are very powerful. Sometimes it causes things to arise at the expense of certain people. Then after one incident about the fire one last night, because it caused things to arise. Without the fire, that person cannot contact me. Because of the fire, that person contacted me. But I felt so bad for the victim. Then I knew it was coming. Everything unfold because of a reason and for me to understand. So I add in one more sentence to protect it. The next time I arise a pure wish, I will always add in this one. If it's for the good of the many, only let it manifest. If it can affect any beings or any things that is not so good or adverse, please do not allow it to arise. Then it has its potential not to actually allow all those things that give rise to suffering or misery to arise, even though it's coming. Because that is what my nature is all about, compassion, try to avoid. If possible, try to avoid. It's not necessary that we have a pure wish for the good of these people, but for it to happen, it has to cause something else to happen. That one is not so good. That's why I use, if it's for the good of the many, means many people can benefit, then let it happen, let it unfold. Otherwise, please don't allow it, don't arise it. So you will start to learn all this. You will start to develop more and more understanding. Then you can do all this. And this is not taught in any book, not taught by anybody, unless they also have that type of cultivation. They have gone through all those training. So that's why a lot of these things, I never learned this line. I inherited it. Then when it comes, I know what it is, then I know how to do. That's why as Kayamita progress, like now in the Chin Hao Dian, they start to show all this understanding, then I can go deeper to share what is the next step that you should do and what other things will unfold as you continue to have this ability to be mindful, to be aware. Well, for Amy, she can do it because her daily mindfulness has improved. She has developed the cultivation quite well. She used to contact me, send me private message and report and share, which is very good. Sadhu to you, Amy. Yeah.
Sadhu to Vaidya for your love and compassion for the many, love and compassion for all beings. Yeah. I think I'll finish my experience by saying that during that moment of keeping in the laundry, there is no thoughts at all. There's no thoughts of fear or worry that the rain is coming anytime. I just slowly finish off what I should do. Just like Pamasuri's daughter shared, just do, don't think.
Yeah.
Just do. Yeah.
Very good. That is what that mind is, because you just do away. Mindful, no hurry, nothing, but in the background you know there is urgency. Otherwise, because sometimes nature is like that, if they hold until they cannot hold already, you know what will happen, it will really fall. You remember at the Cameron Highland retreat, there were one retreat for before the retreat started, it was raining like anything in the area. Even Tenzin Sufu, they are towards Brazil, the weather is very bad. Every day rain and very, very adverse weather at night, very cold. The moment we arrive, that day no more rain, no sunny. Then the 9-day retreat, for 8 days no rain. Until the 8th day afternoon closing ceremony. The moment we end that closing ceremony, that thing fall like cats and dogs, very heavy rain with the lightning, everything. That's how it happened. Then the next day, the 9th day, the morning before we leave, again sunny, nice weather. Then I remember Aliana, sister Liana, the dentist. You remember the first year when that thing happened, I shared with her because she asked me, how come like that? So amazing. So after I share, he don't believe. Not to say really don't believe, he like now very good like that one. Then the next year she also came, and she was so surprised. On the 8th day, she came to me, He said, Brother Theo, it's going to happen again, because again 8 day no rain, and the afternoon it really poured again. And she was in front of me when that thing was happening. I say that is what nature is. Meant to be will be. After that 2 years, don't try to expect more. That is just for you to see, to give people the faith, those who were there and all those things. Because in Cameron Highland, there is a lot of beautiful beings up there. The devas, the Dharma protector, the great beings, nature, everything is there. So when you can feel them, and when you are genuine, sincere, and you cultivate, they really protect you and they rejoice. And a lot of amazing things happen whenever we go to Cameron Highland. Joyce also know. So there was one retreat, I think. There was another monk there at home. Well, it was raining like anything. Then the weekend, I decided to go out. That 2 days when I was there, no rain. Very good weather. Then Yun Chan also looked to me and said, "Your brother, you come on, no more rain." I think Joyce also, she used to travel with me, spiritual trip. They also know, and Yun Chan also know. And many things. It's like all those things that now also in B they all can experience and share all this. My nature rejoice. Means not only I go through what I experience, cultivator can experience if you do it correctly, following the Dhamma way, develop daily mindfulness, stabilize your mindfulness, and have that awareness within. You become sensitive, you become different. you become beautiful. Mm. So let us rejoice with the good sharing by Ying Bi and Jin Hong. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.
Bratio?
Sadhu, yeah.
Okay, Bratio, 我要share一个, 我的那个, meditation 的, experience.
Good, okay.
Okay. OK， 有一天早上，六点的时候，我在 meditate 的时候哦，但是就很 quiet， 很 peaceful， 然后我就可以 feel 到那个 heart 的 center 的那个 movement， 就在那个中间的那个movement， 然后它就慢慢的过后就越来越 slow down 了，
yeah，
对，它 slow down 到很像那个棉花在 touching 这样子，这样在慢慢的在飘这样子。所以、要 fully aware 跟 fully 的 relax， 你才能够去 feel 到。
Yeah,
很像棉花这样子在那边慢慢的 touch， 慢慢的飘。所以我就 stay 跟 fully 的在 aware 它。
Very good。
过后它就 next 过后它就 move， then 就变成我可以看到在我的left hand side 的那个 heart area 有个黑洞。变成一个 black hole 在那一边。Then 我又去就 aware and stay 就看住那个黑洞。Then 他在 next 的时候他有一个东西 ,but 我不能我 I cannot describe, 我也不知道是什么。
不用知道。
then after 那个 meditation, 我出来我第一个 talk 就讲What is this? But 我也不知道是什么，就是一个这样的一个experience 在那个 morning.
Yeah. It's for you to go through. Yeah. So then you just let it be. Because if it's meant to be, it will unfold and show you certain things. But what you say is like the thing become required very subtle, then like cotton, like that, means your awareness is with it. That's why sometimes when you're very relaxed, then the movement and the transformation inside, they will become very natural. It like happen in a slow motion, very soft, and it just move. Yeah. That one means no resistance. You are not resisting anything. So sometimes I can also feel my nature when I just silence my mind and develop the awareness when I go in.Then I know where the gas is coming out. Then when the gas come out, well, I'm so relaxed and be with it. I didn't interfere. I didn't force it. Then the way the gas come out is very soothing, very slow, and it just flow out very nicely. Like there is no resistance at all. So all this also can happen. For you, one is a manifestation for you to see.If it's meant to be, it is supposed to teach you something else, it will happen again. It will show you what is meant to be. Otherwise, just let it be. Let it be. Don't be curious. Always remember what I told you. Whatever happens is part of the way, part of the cultivation. Then the mundane mind will not have the curiosity to come in and inquire or ask questions.Because before you have the ability to understand, the question is always from the thought. Yeah. But when you have the ability to understand already, there is no more a question. It's the reality. The reality is always at that moment. At that moment, whatever that manifests is the reality. Well, like the Buddha said, causes and conditions are there. Things will be unfolding that way.Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. They are all set, meant to be, let it unfold. So our duty is to be observant, to be mindful, to be aware. Then through the awareness, we develop understanding. We develop the clear clarity to understand whatever unfolds. Then we will be able to see things as they are. When we see things as they are, that is the truth.Then how it allows us to arise our understanding, that is most important. Sometimes it can allow you to awaken just the insight. Means you insight into phenomena, then suddenly, that moment, you understand that is the important thing. Means how it trigger off insight and wisdom and awakening. Not asking questions. The asking question one, most of the time is the doubt to the mundane mind, the thought want to know. But whatever that happened, let it be. That's why you always at peace, then smile, let it unfold. And most important is stay with it, silent everything and let it unfold. The moment you interfere, gone. Something else will happen or unfold. So what you go through, just let it be. If meant to be, you will come back again and you will heal you again. You can continue. So, yeah.
Then after the incident, the go home, 就我有两个礼拜就一直有不断的有很 dream 就一直出来，然后我很久已经没有做梦了，但是 after 那个 incident 的过后，我 almost about 3 to 4 days 我就有一个 dream， 3 to 4 days 就一个 dreams， 然后我就看到这些 dream 都是以前很久以前我时常有做的那些 dreams， 然后我再去看的时候，哦，它都是一些。From 那个 fear trigger off 的那种那些 dream 来的
the subconscious release
对，它还会就我就哎呦，就 every 3-4 days 就一个 dream
对，它是 the subconscious release， 因为你现在懂得怎样去 relax 了吗 ，baby， 来说好像棉花这样啊 ，so all this is your ability to actually allow all this very the balance or the subtle subconscious release, phobia or fear or whatever dreams that is supposed to trigger of the subconscious release, it will release out. So it's good. Let it release out. Then later on, your dream also you will know. It will go through like different stages of transformation. Like that dream become different again. The dream will also transform until you can know the consciousness is now different already. That dream that appear is not like the normal dream already. That sometimes is a message that come from great being. That one is normally before you wake up. Then whatever the dream like you describe is a subconscious release, let it be. It is a good sign. And this one will happen for quite a while. Like you say, after a few days, there will be one that you come out. Then not until your wisdom become very, very stable, very clear, then all this will be rooted out. Then hardly any dream. Then all those type of dream that has a subconscious release are no more. And then you see different thing again. After that, different thing again. Different quality of consciousness type of manifestation. It shows the deeper layer or the fine mind inside there and all those things. And a lot of these things that unfold is for you to understand one. That's why when you go through all this, you will understand. Especially when it manifests and appears, don't use your knowledge to analyze. Don't use your knowledge to develop the understanding. Let it happen. Then when you come out of it, their dream, very fast you will forget one if you are not mindful anyway. The moment you wake up, you will still retain to mindfulness or awareness of what those dreams are. Then you reflect and contemplate during that time very fast. Then if it's meant to be for you to develop understanding, you will develop the understanding then. Then you will rejoice and you will know what this is. Then you can see. Everything that happened is part of the way, part of the transformation to deepen your understanding, to let you understand better, to unfold things that cannot unfold before all this happened. So all this, you will start to develop the understanding, which is very important. So very good. Sadhu to you for that subconscious release. Then what else?
Then 过后哦, 因为我 this whole week 我都在 on leave, then 我就有去读那个 Cultivating of 那个 Bodhisattva Way 的那个蓝色那本书。But 我这次看的时候, 又完全 like 很像 就是明白 like, 他的那个 understanding 就是很 easy 的，就是你一看就明白 like, 那 I, then 我就想、oh, it's, maybe it's because of 这个 conscious 不一样了
Yeah.
我一看就来、yeah. 你一看就明白了，不像以前这样、yeah. 看了以后还要 repeat、yeah. 还要 contemplate、yeah. 还要什么，就这一次一看就能够知道了、yeah. 这样、
Then you can understand deeper because you have reached another level of understanding. That's why that understanding unfold and help you to understand. Then later on as you go in deeper, you will understand better. Because unless you reach that level, you cannot understand the deeperSo it's like last night, the Heart Sutta, the first six times you cannot understand, you read also cannot. But when you heard the chanting, when you are at the Rayong, Ajahnanda, then when you connect, you come back, because you have that experience of the silent mind, the transformation, then you read, you start to understand. Then as you cultivate over the years, your understanding becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. So the Bodhisattva way is the same.As you unfold into this, because most of you all, you have not understood the Bodhisattva way. You have not done the Bodhisattva way. So it's not easy initially. Yeah. But for you, you can read them because you are already moving in and having those understanding. That's why now you read, you can understand easily and deeper. Yeah. But it will continue to unfold, which is good. Sadhu to you. Mm.
嗯嗯，那就就从这最近的这些experience， 我再去recall contemplate 的时候，我发现到，不然就你每次 advise 我们的那个relax be ve don't try to know， 这些都是这些 keyword 是非常的重要，是
啊、
as a 对 as a beginning， 你我们就一定要去 develop 了这个这个 understanding。
对，
因为我那一天早上的那个我在 feel 那个像棉花 touching 的那个那个 sitting 的时候，我是 after 我出来了我才 recall， 我是完全 totally 的在 relax。
Yeah.
跟 fully 的 aware，
otherwise that one cannot manifest. Yes.
Yes. 对对，
他的 at all.
他是完全的，他你根本不是出力，而是他 become part of you 的，就是你很自然的，就是在 relax 里面，在 aware 里面。
It can manifest. Otherwise it won't happen. That's why I say no resistance. You didn't resist at all. That's why relax. Don't resist.Don't try to know. So now the meaning become very deep, very meaningful. When you try to know, the doubt, the question, the mundane mind surface again. Whatever happened, part of the way, just do, persevere. Don't try to know. Relax, aware, very important. Be with it. Be one with it. Means accord and flow with it. That it will be very beautiful. It will unfold like the way you describe it, which is very. And now you understand the deep meaning of relax, aware, and be with it. God Loon also benefited. So many cultivators don't know how to do that. Don't know how to be with the emotion, with the anger, with the fear, to understand clearly that they are dependent originating, condition arising mind state.Not intrinsic to our true mind. Anger was never us. Fear was never us. Anxiety, sorrow, lamentation was never us. They are all dependent originating conditioned mind state. So you will understand. Unless you be with it, it will not cease. You will not understand. Then things will not unfold where you resist. So resisting is our dhamma. Cannot lead to understanding.Whereas when you accord and flow, be with it, you see the whole thing unfolding and you understand. And that is Dhamma. The Dhamma way is harmony. Harmony means no resistance. You are in perfect harmony. That's why wherever there is rigidity, there is no Dhamma. Wherever there is harmony, understanding, there is Dhamma.So all this you will start to understand. There's a lot of things that I say, they are important pointers. They are very important 重点。
Yeah.
That's why Ingby also can pick up all those things. Miss Lee also can pick up you and many Kayamita, Alicia, they all, even Homi Fong start to pick up. All these pointers that I share with you all, they are very important, very penetrating. Not until you cultivate and go through, you can never appreciate the depth of his advice and meaning. And all this is because I cultivate from the past and I did all this and I understand all this. That's why I can share with you how I penetrated them, how all these things help me. And when I hear truth, how I can immediately understand it and put it in very clear words to help cultivator and Kayamita to understand. So all this will unfold. Very good.
Virgil?
Ah, yes, Alicia, yeah, Sadhu.
December 15, 我的孩子生日那天.
Oh, okay.
So, 那天, 我的 mindset 很奇怪, 就是, 跟往常不一样, 就是, 感到非常感恩他们能够成为我的孩子 然后家里的很 harmony 的一起 然后感恩 然后就他们就send了我一些很 很 touching 的 message
哦沙丢很好然后当我看完那个
message 之后 然后我的 heart area 就好像有一个 emotion 要 like, 有一个 movement 在那边 可是当我一 aware 它就没有掉了 但我又没有做什么 所以我想问这个是一个 suppression 吗
不是 因为你有那个 like joy and happiness 因为你有那个 gratitude 感恩啊, your expression of gratitude and what they call thank towards your children, Freddy and all these people who created the condition for you to have the beautiful family unit that is with such harmony and understanding. And especially those who sacrifice, like Freddy, 付出这么多 and all those things. Then you feel very, very touched. So that moment of feeling when you are very touched by all those good deeds that they have done and all this gratitude that you felt, that is in fact a very beautiful mind state. Then at the heart there is normally a sensation that will arise because of that feeling that is very touching. Then before it can express out, it disappears. So just let it be. It's not suppression. It's actually something good. Sometimes it can arise, but normally what arises is tears. Did tears come out?
That,他就是当他要起来的时候啊，你会流眼泪吗？ 他眼泪要出来的时候，我就没有，好像我 aware 到这样，我就好像我不要那个 emotion 出来这样。
Oh, that is suppression. If you do that, that is suppression. Let it come out. 那个眼泪要出来，给它出来，那个是好事。 Then if you don't want to let it come out, that is suppression. Because when that thing manifests, that's why I say don't resist. 它那个是一种 compassion 来的, 感恩, then the 眼泪会流出来. But because you stop it, you don't want to be emotional, you think you have to maintain equanimity. No! That is delusion. Because equanimity as an enlightenment factor is not used in this way. Equanimity as an enlightenment factor is not to arise suffering, understand? Not to do foolish things. means you can understand, you can accord and flow, you can accept the reality of the moment. So whatever that manifests, if it's due to a emotion which is very touching, just let it unfold, because this is life. Form and mind has its own reality. That's an experience, that touching moment, that beautiful moment. That is not attachment. Attachment is when you deludedly want this to be repeated. Your expectation of your children and husband to continue to give you this type of joy, this, that is attachment. But at that moment when it manifests, when everything was in that beautiful state and condition, you express that joy. You felt touched by what they write to you and what message they deliver to you. So all this is something you all can learn, because Dhamma is not about believing what people say, like those people say, you enlightened already, you cannot have craving. Then you go and interpret like what they do. No craving means good food also cannot eat. Because you eat good food means you got craving, you got desire. Where got such thing? So it's the same. It doesn't mean that you enlightened already, you cannot have emotion. You cannot have even good emotion. There is no such thing. Emotion is part of feeling, understand or not? But normally people use the word emotion as negative feeling. That's why you are emotional, they say. But it's a feeling of joy, feeling of something that touches your heart. Then you can understand that the form and mind is within the conditioned world. The conditioned world has its own reality, has its own Dhamma, has its own nature's law to unfolding. As long as you understand that this form and mind is a vehicle and tool for you to come to experience all this, so you let it manifest and unfold. You do not suppress that feeling. Suppressing it is resistant. I already say, whatever that resists is all Dhamma, not Dhamma. So let it be. No need to resist. Whatever that gives joy, let that joy arise. That's why joy is like pity. Understand? You feel joy, you feel happiness. Let it unfold. It's an enlightenment factor. Okay? Alicia? Sadhu. Thanks for the sharing. Sadhu.